What would a perfect world look like? Well, Skip Heitzig has a few ideas on that issue that he'd like to share.
For a moment, try to imagine, and it's all we can do, but imagine a world of perfect peace, a world of perfect law, perfect order, perfect justice. Everything's always fair. Sin is dealt with immediately. All politicians are saints. I know you really, really have to stretch your imagination. Imagine a world where the health is such that if a person dies at 100 years of age, they are said to be an infant because of the longevity of man being restored. Imagine a world where kids can go out and play in snake pits and find the snakes friendly, and the snakes can find the kids friendly. Imagine a world where the food is overabundant, even though the population has increased dramatically on the earth. Now, that sounds like, to most people, pure fiction.
Make the connection.
Paradise. What sort of images pop into your head when you hear that word? Sunny tropical beaches? Lush green rainforests? Maybe the crisp white austereness of a snow-covered field? We all have some idea of what paradise is here on Earth. Which brings up a good question. Can we ever truly experience heaven on Earth? Can we get a taste of eternity during this lifetime? That's exactly what we'll explore today on The Connection. But first, you know, The Connection is here to provide solid teaching from God's Word to you each day. And every month, we prepare resources that not only equip you for a closer walk with the Lord, but also support the ongoing ministry of The Connection. Here's more about this month's special resource.
Every day, we're barraged by headlines and news stories that seem to spell certain doom. And it's so easy to become discouraged. But what does God's Word, the ultimate authority, have to say about current events and the end times? In this month's Connection resource, you'll receive prophecy expert Mark Hitchcock's book, Blood Moons Rising, which takes a critical look at the recent blood moon eclipses in relation to the biblical blood moon prophecy. You'll also receive Pastor Skip Heitzig's book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, which clearly lays out how to interpret the prophecies of Revelation. These two informative and easy-to-read books are yours today for only $25 when you order online at skipheitzig.com or call The Connection at 1-800-922-1888. Don't let this world overwhelm you. Plant your feet firmly on the solid foundation of God's Word. Order today at skipheitzig.com.
Now, if you want to experience heaven on earth, do you need to go to a tropical paradise, or is there more to it than that? What would heaven on earth look like? If you're curious to find out, sit tight and join us for today's study.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, and as you find your place, Skip Heitzig will begin today's study with a little history lesson.
It was 40 years ago when a historian, philosopher named Will Durant, very famous one, made an estimation. He noted that at that time, in the 3,124 years of recorded history, there had been only 268 of those years that had seen no war, which translates into 92% of recorded world history has been a time of war and conflict, no peace. And yet, that has been the very cry of people from the beginning, peace on earth, and if possible, even to create a utopia. Way back in the days of the philosopher Plato, he talked about an ideal polis, he called it, the city-state, ruled by a philosopher king in knowledge and equity, bringing peace. He longed for that. The Roman government actually attempted it, and for two centuries they brought in the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, and enforced peace by taking pirates and thieves off the seaways and the roadways. Then there was the Pax Britannica. For a century, Britain ruled much of the inhabited earth and promoted financial security and growth during that time. But it was back in 1516 when a guy by the name of Thomas More, Sir Thomas More, wrote a book called Utopia, a fictional island where there was the perfect legal, political, economic state, the perfect place. We've always dreamed of that. Karl Marx envisioned that. He thought if we could just deal with class distinctions and move them out of the way, that virtually every social problem would be solved. And that cry for peace is with us today. It's on the back of cars with bumper stickers, the most famous being Visualize World Peace. Cry for peace. I was on a website yesterday, and I found a website that sells peace bumper stickers. There are 1,005 different peace bumper stickers you could buy. That is the cry of the human heart, peace on earth. And some politicians have even included in their promise for the future biblical language, millennial language. As an example, Adolf Hitler, with his imperialistic Reich, his reign, said that it would cover the whole earth and last for 1,000 years. How horrible that would have been. Mao Zedong, the one-time dictator of China, said his revolution would dominate the world for 1,000 years. Now, for a moment, try to imagine, and it's all we can do, but imagine a world of perfect peace, a world of perfect law, perfect order, perfect justice. Everything's always fair. Sin is dealt with immediately. All politicians are saints. I know you really, really have to stretch your imagination. Imagine a world where the health is such that if a person dies at 100 years of age, they are said to be an infant because of the longevity of man being restored. Imagine a world where kids can go out and play in snake pits and find the snakes friendly, and the snakes can find the kids friendly. Imagine a world where the food is overabundant, even though the population has increased dramatically on the earth. Now, that sounds like, to most people, pure fiction. That's a fairy tale. That's to most people. But to Bible readers, we know that that's exactly what the Bible promises will happen one day on this earth for 1,000 years when Christ rules and reigns. Now, for that to happen, we can quickly understand that this earth would have to go through a reconstruction period. We would call it an extreme makeover. An extreme makeover. Well, we have been for 10 weeks looking in the Bible at eternity. We've been following a Christian from the moment of death to going into the portals of heaven. We've looked at the reunion with other believers. We've talked about the resurrection of our physical bodies, the capabilities of those bodies. We've talked about the throne room of heaven, and we've talked about the Bema Seat of Christ. And actually, we've just gotten started. We're now coming to the very heart of our eternal future in the next several weeks. And today, we discuss an entirely different phase of it. A phase, honestly, most Christians do not believe, or not believe, but really even think about. See, most people think you die and you go to heaven, you sit on a cloud, you play a harp, and you sing chants forever and ever and ever and ever. It's sort of the idea that goes through people's minds. There were two Christians, they were having a conversation, and one of them said, "I have a one-way ticket to heaven, and I'm never coming back." And the other Christian said, "Well, you're sure going to miss a lot then. I have a return ticket, frankly. I'm going to go to heaven, see Jesus in glory, then come back in power and glory to rule and reign with him." Now, that second Christian had his theology right, I believe, and we're going to look at that this morning. But on a personal note, I want to let you know, the more I personally study about the future, about heaven, about the millennium, about the eternal state, I get really stoked. And it's going to not be sitting on a cloud singing, oh, for thousands and millions of years. Heaven is way cool, and it's multifaceted. It's not monolithic. There are different structures and different phases to it. And chapter 20 introduces one of those future phases called the millennium. It is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. John Walvoord, who taught prophecy for 50 years at Dallas Theological Seminary, writes, "There are few verses in the Bible that are more crucial to the interpretation of the Bible as a whole than the opening verses of Revelation chapter 20. You know why that is? Because Revelation 20 tells us the climax of Earth's history. This is where it all culminates, and once this phase is done, all of life as we know it on earth is finished. It's the climax and the culmination. Now let's look at the first, let's say, seven verses together, and then we'll go back and make a few comments. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image, had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison." First thing I'd like you to notice, the most obvious, is the extent of this kingdom age. When I refer to the kingdom age, I'm referring particularly to the 1,000 years that we're talking about. Notice the extent of it. It is worldwide. Four corners of the earth are involved, and it lasts 1,000 years. Six times in seven verses is that precise little phrase, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. So how long is it going to be? 1,000 years. That's the extent of it. That's the millennium. And that word sort of gets lost with some believers. There was a theological student in school, brand new one, didn't study that week. And so the test came on a certain day, and he looked down at the first question. The first question is, what is the millennium? He didn't know how to answer it. So he said, the millennium is the same as a centennial, only it has a lot more legs. He's thinking in terms of a bug. Well, unfortunately, there are some believers who don't have a better grasp on the millennium than even that. Now, chapter 20 of Revelation is simply a basic outline form of this kingdom age. There's not a whole lot of information given on it. It's very, very minimal. The character and nature of it is not fleshed out here. There are hundreds of verses in other parts of Scripture, all the talk about the kingdom age, about the only information we're given is that it lasts 1,000 years. The great highlight is Satan is bound, and just a few other details about it, which we're going to cover in weeks to come. Now, throughout the Bible, this millennium or this kingdom age is given several different titles. Matthew 19, verse 28, Jesus said, "In the regeneration." And in the original language, it means the new Genesis. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory. That's this era, the kingdom age. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, the kingdom is called the times of refreshing. And in the same chapter, verse 21, the time of the restoration of all things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul describes it as the dispensation of the fullness of the time. So there's a lot of different titles this millennial kingdom is called. Let me give you just a quick bottom line description. This is a time when the earth will have undergone massive topographical, geological, and climatic changes that will resemble very similar to the original design of the earth with the Garden of Eden. Now again, just try to imagine this. I don't know if you're like me. I love the outdoors, love going up to the mountains, love to go on a bicycle ride, love to smell the air after the rain. Wow, I love it. God's done a great job in making this earth, hasn't he? The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24, and the fullness thereof. And we get to enjoy it. Now, imagine an earth that is recreated like it was intended to be from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, and you in resurrected, glorified bodies, no aches, no groans, no complaints, for 1,000 years. That's the millennium. Now, the very thought of the term millennium gets a little people, or some people, a little bit tweaked. They hear, you know, just the idea of a millennium. It seems that every 1,000-year mark on a calendar, people start to act strange. Do you remember the millennial madness just before the year 2000? Remember all the talk, the world's going to end, the computers are going to all freeze, and life as we know it is going to cease. That's not that uncommon. In the year 1000, here's an article from Psychology Today. Legend has it that at midnight on January 1st, 1000, the entire population of Iceland converted en masse to Christianity in the belief that they were about to experience the apocalypse. At the same time in Rome, many expected the end of the world and prepared themselves in various ways, including giving away all possessions, doing penance, mortifying their flesh, and wearing sackcloth and ashes. The very word millennium, or the 1,000-year or 2,000-year mark, evokes all sorts of emotion in us. I remember before the year 2000 in the late 90s, all of the groups that used the millennium mark as their target date. They said, by the year 2000, we want to end world hunger. By the year 2000, we want a drug-free society. By the year 2000, we want to find a cure for cancer. By the way, in the millennium, all that will be true. All that will be true. The kingdom here, then, is given only in summary terms. If we were to study all of the verses in the Bible about the kingdom age, we would be doing it for months and months and months. There's a lot of literature on it in the Bible. Okay, that's the extent of it. Now the explanation of it. Did you know that Revelation chapter 20 is one of the most hotly contested verses of the Bible? It's a theological battleground, and here's the battle lines. Are we to take Revelation chapter 20 symbolically, allegorically, spiritually, or is this to be taken literally, actually? Is this going to be an event in our future in time and space? And it's that question that is the dividing line. So in explaining the 1,000 years, though it is mentioned 6 times in 7 verses, very specific, let me give you quickly 3 main viewpoints about this idea of the millennium. First, and it's in your outline, is the pre-millennial view. Simply stated, Jesus Christ will return to the earth before pre-millennium. He'll come back and then set up his kingdom. We believe, or that view believes, in the personal, bodily, glorious return of Jesus to the earth, where he will set up his throne and rule from Jerusalem over the throne of David for 1,000 years and over the whole world. Now, if you were to just read the Bible without any other books, just read it simply, plainly, literally, straightforward, you would have a premillennial view. Even people who oppose this view will admit that. A plain rendering will give you that interpretation. And this was once the dominant view of the early church. In fact, it's hard to find any other viewpoint until AD 190. The apostles believed this, the post-apostolic fathers believed this and wrote about it. It is the dominant viewpoint of the early church. Around AD 190, this group of theologians, scholars, down in Alexandria, Egypt, in a theological school, decided we can't take the Bible literally. It has to be all figurative, all symbolic, and they sought to find shades of meaning below the surface of the literal text. By the way, when they did this, most of the rest of the church said that is heresy. The Bible is to be taken at face value.
You know, heaven on earth may not ever really be a reality until Christ returns, but that doesn't mean we can't introduce people to heaven while we're here on earth. In fact, we need to make the most of every opportunity we have to share the gospel and to make sure that no one misses heaven. Well, that's where we'll have to end our study for today. But before we do, Skip and Lenny are here to share a bit more about a new mission project they'd like you to be a part of. Skip?
Okay, so today, and I'm sort of turning the tables on you because usually you're talking to me and asking me a question, so it's my turn. Yeah, today we talked about the thousand-year reign of Christ, the millennial reign of Christ. You know, it's exciting to think about the time when God will really be done on this present earth, and there'll be something new and exciting beyond that, 1,000 years of this earth reconstituted, so to speak. But right now, on this earth, there's a lot of work for believers to do sharing the love of Christ. Now, you have a very fascinating and I think a worthwhile project called Reload Love that's making an impact on little ones around the world. Tell us about that.
Well, I believe God's all about redemption. And the only thing that's going to come to heaven with us are those redeemed. We can't take our cars or our money or anything else. And we can't even take our family unless they're redeemed. And so God's all about redemption. And Reload Love kind of parallels the heart of God. We redeem brass bullet spent casings, and we transform them as God transforms us into these beautiful brass charms.
I like that.
And then the brass charms are to help children who have been brutalized by terror. And this is so heavy on my heart, you know, with what we're seeing happening in Iraq, the Christians and being beheaded. And we're also, for us, working in Burma, where so many children are being scattered. And so we have raised these funds and raised awareness to let people realize that children are being brutalized by terror. Mm-hmm. And by buying one of our charms, one of our necklaces, our bracelets, you can raise awareness, but you can also help us raise funds to actually help a kid that is caught in the crossfires. So you can go to reloadlove.com and you'll see about the work we're doing in Burma, the work we've done in Thailand, the work we've done in Cambodia, and we help to continue to reach kids caught in the crossfire no matter where they may be. And so we would love collection of bullets and love you guys to pray for the babies all over the world that are in this place, but also do something about it. One necklace, one bracelet helps get one child in a Bible study program in Burma.
And these are kids who are disaffected. They're sometimes in refugee camps or they're in displacement areas. And so their whole lives, they would not have a future at all. They will not have a future.
They're going through ethnic cleansing. The Burmese army, the Burma army, has been chasing them from place to place, and for the only reason of that they don't like their ethnicity or their background. And so they're just being pillaged and really hardly have a place to land. Once they do cross a border, maybe into Thailand or India or China, then you're right. They live in refugee camps, can never be a part of that society, don't have a passport, don't have a way to work. So now they're stuck on a camp. They can't go home. They can't integrate into their country. And so we try to find them and bring the gospel to them and bring goodies to them and just love them in the name of Jesus.
And what a great title, Reload Love. Once the bullet casing has been spent, to reload it with love by selling this product and getting the money out to kids who are caught in the crossfire of terror. Well done.
We ask you to join the Lovement. And one of our taglines is ready, aim, free. So help us to re-aim these to make kids free.
Well, thanks, Lenya and Skip. And remember, you can call us for a copy of today's message, Heaven on Earth. Each copy on CD is just $6. But when you share anything above that suggested donation, you'll help us continue these daily teachings and take them to new areas as well. And remember, you can order the entire series, From the Edge of Eternity, on a preloaded MP3 player for just $35. Call us today at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Or just visit the store at skipheitzig.com. Thank you again for your support of this ministry.
And make the connection.
Continue to explore this concept of heaven on earth and whether or not the world can ever truly enjoy peace next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.